Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, y'all? Look, this is the co-host of the Up and Smoke Show, Paul, coming at y'all. And tonight, I'm going solo. You got that right. Smoke won't be riding shotgun tonight, so I'm going to be shooting straight from the hip. But I got a very serious topic I want to talk to you guys, you people tonight about. So whatever thoughts and opinions, you may have on this issue, please share them. Because what you have to say could be very important and could help somebody, with this issue. So, and before I get started, I want to toss out this number for whoever, may be out there that, you may be facing some emotional, some psychological things in your world that, you might not want to share with anybody, but, you might need somebody to really come beside you and walk with you through it. So the number is 877-751-9491, and it's the suicide hotline number. So that's a very important number just for any relative or friend, even yourself, So just keep that number handy in case you're going through. Everybody needs somebody to walk through life with them, everybody, especially those that are having, issues of the mental type, even physical. There's people that are in wheelchairs and handicapped that sometimes want to commit suicide because they can't get through life. And that's what my topic is tonight. And that's what I want to talk to you folks out there tonight about. And I don't know how many of you have, had a friend or someone in your life that may be going through some issues. You might not know it. That might be the type of person that, don't share, don't open up, But I just want to tell you some facts based upon the suicide rate that's going on in our nation right now. Because the 800,000 people die of suicide every year. That's 800,000 people. That might not sound like a lot of people. That can be a good amount of people each year committing suicide. And for every suicide, there are many more people who attempt suicide every year because prior suicide took the single most important risk factor for suicide in the general population. Most people that make that attempt to try to do it, they usually try to do it again if they fail the first time, you know. And suicide is the second leading cause of death among 15 and 29-year-olds. So it's usually like younger people, you know, because we've got a lot of this bullying going on in our schools, and, you know, our youth aren't feeling the love that's necessary for them in these streets, you know. So their relationships are broken at best, even when they try to deal with, you know, their peers, because of the fact that the love that helps them to grow into productive citizens is lacking in a lot of our children nowadays, you know. And most of the people that do so by ways like pesticide and hanging, firearms are the most common methods of suicide, and that's global. You know what I mean? People taking poisons and things of the sort so they can end their lives. But every year, like I said, close to 800,000 people take their own life, and there are many more people who attempt it. Now, every suicide is a tragedy. I don't know if you know that, because it affects families, communities, entire countries, and has long-lasting effects on the people left behind. You know, I know a friend that she had a loved one that took his life. And I know how the pain really, you know, touched him, you know, really deep. I know that even he had his first child, as a matter of fact, and he's not here to help with that anymore. So that's something that a lot of people, and maybe if he reached out, maybe someone could have talked to him and spoke to him about the issues going on in his world. Maybe gave him some counsel, you know. Children, that wasn't as bad as what a lot of us think it is. But the link between suicide and mental disorders, and particularly depression and alcohol use disorders, is well established in like high-income countries. And many suicides happen impulsively in moments of crisis with a breakdown, the inability to deal with life stresses such as financial problems, relationship breakups, pain, illness. And see, most, you know, a lot of people experience conflict, disaster, violence, abuse, loss, and even a sense of isolation are strongly associated with suicidal behavior. People that, you know, stay to themselves, you know. So if you got friends or you live in an apartment complex and you know there's people that stay to themselves and they don't frequent, you know, as often. There might be a neighbor that'd be nice if you every once in a while just drop past with a smile and say, "How you doing? You know, how's things going in your life?" You know, I mean, we're all here for one another. All of us, we're here for one another. So, what better than to exercise that fact? That's one of the reasons why I'm, you know, speaking on this topic, because the world is a smaller place than what any of y'all think it may be. You know, and we all got to be, you know, so why not make this place, this earth that we live and inhabit in it, a place that we all want to be here. You know, this bullying, especially the cyber bullying. You know, I know, you know, a lot of those that are social media know about the cyber bullying that's been taking place. There was a star in the adult industry that had taken her life recently, because she was cyberbullied, you know, because of people saying she didn't want to perform, you know, with someone that she didn't want to perform with. And because of the fact, people took to Twitter and, you know, and essentially into her wanting to take her own life when she did. You know, that's something that got to stop. And people got to recognize we're adults. Somebody's decision not to do something on their workplace, that's their decision. Regardless of what, I don't think any of us have the right, except their own employer, to make a call according as such. Still, a lot of us in our society have found that suicide rates are also highest amongst vulnerable groups who experience discrimination, such as refugees and migrants, indigenous people, especially lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. You know, those people are, you know, at risk for society just coming down on them because of the way they are and the way that they walk. And nobody deserves that. You know, even those that are of the Christian faith know that, you know, it might not be God's way to be, you know, anything other than what they, you know, what society considers normal. But it's not up to society. You know, that's a relationship between that individual and God. So none of us here have the right to make someone feel less than because of a decision that they decided to take upon themselves. If anything, we should walk beside them. We can give them some knowledge, how you feel, not to beat them up. Nobody has the right to feel bad because of something that someone else don't understand. But like I said, the rising rate and the rising community awareness and breaking down the so-called those taboos is important, especially for countries to make, you know, prevention of suicide something that's, you know, that's possible. See, globally, the availability and the quality and data on suicide and suicide attempts is really poor at best right now. There's a 60-member board, and they have a good quality of vital registration data that they can use to directly estimate suicide rates. But the problem of poor quality mortality data is not unique to suicide. But given the sensitivity of suicide and the illegality of suicide behavior in some countries, it's likely that underreporting, misclassification, are greater problem for suicide than for most other causes of death. Because of the fact that you don't have as many social workers and people in the field that are able to report on things of the sort, it's hard to get an accurate feel as to, you know, what's really going on, except the fact that they know it's rising. It seems that bullying is, and things of the sort aren't going away, and they're not getting any better, and there haven't been any attempts as far as any laws or anything of the sort to stop, it seems, these type of incidences even from happening. Even the incidents that just happened with those children that just got shot at the school, that in and of itself is something that can make a lot of people want to commit suicide, especially young children. That's, you know, whether it's school-age children, you know, or teens. The World Health Organization is at this time keeping track of what's going on in suicide prevention, and they recognize suicide as a public health priority. The first World Suicide Report for Preventing Suicide has been a global imperative that was published in 2014 and aims to increase the awareness of public health significance of suicide and suicide attempts to make suicide prevention a high priority on the global public health agenda. It also aims to encourage and support countries to develop or strengthen comprehensive suicide prevention strategies in a multi-sectorial public health approach. In other words, they're trying to, across the board, you know, trying to find not, you know, people of all races, ethnicities, male and female, and of age to find out what preventive measures, you know, but there is quite a few that, you know, they can at this time take so that they can prevent suicide. Like I was saying, if you have a friend, relative, somebody and stuff that isolates themselves, be a friend. Go to them, spend some time with them. Sometimes just a smile can help somebody. Cheer them up. What I want to ask is, if there are any listeners out there, if you know, have the ability to call in, to talk about if you have friends or family that, you know, I know it's a sensitive issue. But for some of us, we carry that pain around, and sometimes we need somebody to talk to about it. You know, it's something that I don't think we should keep to ourselves. But I know a lot of people are private people. At the same time, a lot of people don't believe in the power of prayer as well either. And I believe that stuff, we were the type of people that did. We can pray for our loved ones and pray for those that, you know, are feeling like they're isolated, secluded. I want to ask, even to go to as far as volunteering at a place that, you know, like a suicide hotline or something or other, being that it has been a priority of the World Health Organization, the Mental Health Gap, which is an organization which was launched in 2008, they provide evidence-based technology, guidance to scale up, and service provision and care in countries for mental and neurological and substance people that use substances, disorders, you know, mental health disorders and things of the sort. But also in 2013 to 2020, they have a plan, a member state plan, where they have committed themselves working towards the global target of reducing the suicide rates at least by 10% by 2020. So there is groups that are working towards, you know, doing something. But like I said before, I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. I don't want to make any, you know, anyone upset. But I just want to know, isn't it worth reaching out? Somebody that you, you know, someone that you love, someone that you care about, someone that's just a friend. We never know what somebody might be going through, the things that might be going through in their heads, you know. And a lot of times, even just saying to a person, you know, you might not even have to try to talk to them about their issues. Just maybe even take them out to a burger, just, you know, spend a time with them. At the same token, it can be even in your own household. You have a brother or sister, husband or wife. We live our lives, and it's like we just living on perpetual just death. Wake up in the morning and just, you know, whether you go to the office or whatever type of work you do, you just go. You know, you don't even think before you know it, you find that you haven't really even given yourself enough time to even consider some of the things that are going through your world for you. And a lot of people think just because of the fact that the person has a lot of things going on in their lives, that there ain't no possible way that they could be depressed. Really? I mean, there is businessmen that have taken the weight of their companies and their families upon their shoulders, and sometimes the rug's pulled out from under them, and they have nothing else. Sometimes they, in their own life, because of the fact that they feel there's no one there to understand, or no one even cares to. See, people fail to recognize we're not here on this earth for ourselves. We're here for each other. And that's real talk. I mean, it even says in the word, keep one warm. And one can't. One can't keep one, you know, themselves warm. You need another person. At the same token, one needs each other just for our mental stability. You know, each day that you live upon this earth, things that you go through from dealing with each other, even the stress of just, you know, your coworkers, or your stress even if you don't have coworkers, just dealing with life in itself can be stressful for a lot of us. as well as there's a lot of us are on this planet and stuff that don't even have a soul that wants to acknowledge them. Who wants an existence where they're not acknowledged? Really? I know I wouldn't, you know, that irks me, because I felt that way before. So I know there's others of you out there that maybe you never felt like that, you know, in your lifetime. But you know someone that has. So I'm asking you, you know, just to take the time, open up your mind, as well as your heart, you know, and give somebody a minute of your time. Suicide prevention is such a big issue. I know that, I don't know how many of you listen to hip-hop out there, but a rapper by the name of Logic, that number I gave you, I believe it's either that number or there is another suicide hotline number that he made the title of a song, so that others and stuff would also be able to reach out. And he was trying to get everyone on one accord to state that you're not alone. If you're hurting, you need somebody to talk to, reach out, be at a phone. If that's the only lifeline that you have. But I'm asking you all here, be a lifeline for somebody. Because you can really be the catalyst that helps them decide to stay here or just to end it all. You can be that person that this world may not consider you a hero, but that person would, because you were there for them when they needed somebody. And this is real talk. This is serious, because it's happening. It's almost like every 20 minutes there's someone attempting to commit suicide. That's not good. So I'm asking you, you know, open your hearts. You know, you might not know somebody that might be out there, but you can give a good word. You can give a good word. But I'm not going to keep on dragging that issue, and I don't want to make it, like I said, I don't want to make anyone down. It's just something that needs to be talked about. Just as well as it needs to be talked about, like I stated, those children that went what they went through. Their friends being shot, being murdered. That's an issue that needs to be spoken to as well. I'm not saying we need to do a gun control thing in this country, because that would just be putting the guns in the hands of those guns anyway. And those are upstanding law-abiding citizens wouldn't have protection. But there needs to be some measures so that incidences of the sort. I don't understand why I feel all schools have metal detectors. But I guess some schools have issues with it. I mean, they allow them in the inner cities. I guess they're saying now they need them in the suburbs as well. So I know there's some of you out there instead that probably agree with what I'm saying. This issue of our children being able to go to school and not feeling safe is something I got to get. I know we know as well as the next man, you won't want to be going into an area in which you feel anything can happen to you. I mean, how do they expect their children to study if they don't feel protected? And the only way can we feel protected is if we implement plans and laws to enable them to be able to do so, to be able to go to school and to be able to be in peace. Even our teachers are subject to being shot just for doing their job and trying to teach our children. So that's something that really needs to be dealt with. That's an issue that our country needs to really stand up and take notice of. That in and of itself can cause people to want to commit suicide. I mean, how would you feel between you were getting bullied in school, and now there's someone coming through the school taking lives.
Hey,
that's
Paul.
like, yes, sir.
You mind if I chime in? Can I just ask you one question? What
yes,
is
sir.
Your take, real quick, on about that whole subject about they feel as though the teacher should be armed in schools these days?
What is my what?
Okay. Hold on. Maybe let me turn it down. Don't worry about it, bro. Because this is all going to get edited out, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
What is your take? There's certain headlines that are saying that they're trying to like pass certain legislation that says that teachers should be armed in school. I mean, you know, a lot of those solutions. Because I heard you talking about the school shootings and all that. What will be your thing? Should the teachers be armed in schools? How about that? Let me just cut it down. Should teachers
I don't believe teachers should be armed in school, no. I believe they should make measures to have metal detectors. They should have security, but not teachers be armed, no. There's other teachers having a bad day and they have some psychological issues themselves. You know, what's to stop them from, you know, brandishing a gun? You know, well, they have an issue with a student. You know, what's to make that person not, you know, brandish their gun? You know, so no, I don't think that teachers should be armed. I don't. I mean, you can even have students who found ways to get a hold of a teacher's gun and steal it. So no, I don't believe they should be armed. I don't. I believe they should make sure that they should make kids that are in the classes more aware of their surroundings and things that are going on. If a student's acting in a particular in the school's attention, you know, especially if they're type of children that are loner type kids, seeing like they spend a lot of time to themselves. Our society has a tendency of, when it comes to a person that stands off alone to themselves, we have a tendency to just let them do so. Instead of telling them, hey, don't stand over there by your lonesome. Come on over here with us. We're not a society like that. We need to learn to be like that. As well as those that are loners need to learn how to try to fit in too. I'm not saying that you got to become part of a social group or that you got to become the life of the party, but you don't have to be a wallflower either. You don't have to outlander a no one, so to speak. A lot of that is self-esteem issues. A lot of our self-esteem issues are built up from us as young adults, young people, from a child to being a teenager, because that's when all your emotional baggage is usually brought about. If you don't get positive reinforcement as you're growing up and all you get is negative, it makes you low self-esteem. And now you think the only people that want you or want to be bothered with you are people that, I mean, that there's more than just those folk that, you know, you can have in your world, but you don't know it because you don't explore it. Because you think all you can communicate with is a certain type of individuals. When the world is yours, you just got to go out there and put first foot forward. But that all comes to when we grow up and us not having the positive reinforcement, not even just from our parents, but our peers as well. A lot of us grow up and we get negative, you know, we hear negative things from our peers and we hear negative things from our parents, especially if we're not the best looking people or we're not as coordinated as my, you know, you have a brother that's good in sports, but here you're clumsy. He gets all the accolades and you don't. Everybody telling him how nice he is and you hear just how bad you are. You know, those are the type of things that make people grow up and also can hold and harbor hate in their hearts, too. That can make a person go off. You know, especially if they work somewhere and each day they come in, they hear everybody joking and laughing and talking amongst themselves, but don't nobody talk to you. Don't nobody say, how your day? Nobody even we like, what's up? They did a movie a little while ago called The Lego Movie. And it was for kids. But if any adult paid attention to that movie, they'd have saw some things in that movie change to adults. Like when the guy was wanting to go to the, well, with the coworkers, they were going out to a bar to get some wings, and he was saying, oh, I love wings. But everybody was saying, we don't know that guy. Who's that guy? We don't know that guy. We don't hang with that guy. We don't know that guy. Making him feel like he was less than, you know? And being as such, he felt, you know, I mean, the movie, he wasn't the type that, he didn't have suicidal thoughts, it was just a movie. But he felt like everyone else, that he didn't fit in. And that's something in our society that we do a lot. You know, we make people feel like they're less than. We make people feel like, unless you look good, unless you have riches, so to speak, unless you can become the most popular. I mean, even social media drums up people with Instagram and all these different type of, and how many Facebook friends do you have? It's crazy. But that's society today. And it seems unless, I mean, the little plain Janes and, you know, basic Bobbies, they're like, you know, being left behind because society is making them feel like unless you look like a star, you're a loser. So being they feel like that, there's people that, you know, they harbor that inside, especially as they young. And when they get older, some, like you see, like we see now, are unleashing it in school. You know, even if it didn't happen in Columbine, I believe those boys were, you know, being picked on, so to speak, from the people in their school. And they were like, they weren't taking that anymore. They have just no excuse for them to, you know, commit mass murder. But because of the coldness of our society, people were making it like, you know, I'm feeling bad. Why do I need to feel bad? So I'm going to take a few with me. And that's what it seems like we're becoming. I don't think with gun laws, I don't think if they took guns away, it would help anything. I think it will just hurt. And teachers having guns? No. That's not going to help anything. I don't believe it will help anything. I think it will just make it worse. But I do believe that we need to implement plans to make sure that things like what happened at that school don't happen. Kids don't deserve to have to get an education and be scared to death to do so. That's not even a good look. I know that are you there, sir? Spoke.
I'm here. I'm just listening, well, brother.
Do we have to go a whole hour tonight?
Keep on going, bro. You can keep it going, man. You, however long you want to go, keep on going. If you want to, whatever you want to do.
All right.
I think this is a good show right now. I'm sitting here. I'm just listening, man. The thing is, I messed up when I put out the banner. I forgot to put out the time on the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to put out the time on there, but it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? It really don't matter. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at the board. Ain't nobody on there. It's me and you. Unless somebody's listening live on the link, but just continue to flow. You know what I mean? You're doing your thing. You want me to throw? You want me to throw something at you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I can't. What is?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you a nice hot take. Let me go into my thing real quick. Let me go into my thing. Let's see here. Let me go into my thing. Let's see. Man, I would like to get your hot take. I know it's an old thing. You know what I'm saying? And it's gonna be hard. It might be hard for you to even go in because it's a sensitive subject. But I think you're from that era, and I just want to get a view from you on the whole Bill Cosby situation, because my thing is I want to get your take on it. Just can you give me a hot take on the Bill Cosby situation? What is your feelings on it? I don't want you to say if he's guilty or whatever, but what is your take on it?
Well, because there being some other issues that I know when it comes to the Cosby issue. Because, see, on the outside, just like with the Michael Jackson thing, you know, the whole world was like, you know, yeah, Michael Jackson did that to those kids, and yeah, string them up, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But they didn't really look at the whole for real, you know, was there, you know, because it came out later that when the parents of one of the kids said, the kid said Michael never touched him. And there was proof that he didn't touch him, that it was a blackmail thing from that family. And Michael gave him money, you know, but that money jacked him up even worse.
Because my whole thing about it is, let's just leave that. I want to ask you a relationship question, actually, at the end of the day, because you are a player P, and I do want to ask you a question here, and I want you to go in on this, and I'm going to mute my mic. Is it possible, as a man, to make your side chick your wife?
Your sidekick or your side
your
chick?
Your side chick. Your side chick. 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 Is it possible your side chick your wife? Because you know how they go through for being a side chick. You know what I mean? And how about this? You know the song, let me put it this way. You know the song Secret Lovers, okay? All right? So you know that one person, they're both in separate relationships. Is it possible for them to move on and get together? How about that? Is that a better perspective?
Yeah, but see, my perspective isn't going to be the perspective that most people want to come from. Because on the one, I've always had a hard time being involved with two females at one time. Because you're always going to be more loyal to one than the other. Always. One's going to have your heart where the other one don't. So on the real, you know what I mean? I look at everything from a spiritual ass point too. And you can't make two females that want. You can't. You know, if there's countries and stuff where it has been legal for you to marry two. But the only way you can marry two in those countries is if you can provide for them both. You can't just be able to provide for one, not the other. You've got to prove that you can provide for both of them. And even in God's eyes and stuff, when he provided, when men were able to marry more than one woman, the only way you could do so is if you can provide for them both. But now we're in a society where people just want to do things the way they want to do them. You know what I mean? And being as such, I mean, that's another spirit that's running rampant and stuff that people don't pay attention to. That spirit is just saying, just do you. That's not the way it was supposed to be. I mean, there wasn't nothing wrong with having more than one wife at one time, but you had to make sure you took care of them. You know, and they had to know, you had to make sure they knew their place, because back then, you know, you had, even in the Bible times, you had the wife. And sometimes the wife, if she couldn't get, if she was barren, she'd let her maid sleep with her husband. But she knew she was a maid. Even
okay,
if she
that's
got pregnant,
right there.
A child. Huh?
Do you, so with that being said, I know this is your show, and I want to keep the flow going, and I want to get the people out there, because once I get this out there, you know what I'm saying, I want the people to get a chance to know you. So with that being said, using Bible scriptures, and I know you subscribe to the Bible and things of that nature, you're a deacon, you're a man of the cloth, I would like to say, but do you subscribe to polygamy? With that being said, using those scriptures that you use from the Bible?
Not today, I wouldn't, because there's too many issues.
Oh, how about this?
How about this?
Let me reword this. Would it be wrong, according to what you just said, according to the Bible, how you interpreted it, would it be wrong for a guy to subscribe to polygamy?
Today, because of the culture, which we like here in Pennsylvania, you won't be allowed, but maybe in Utah.
No,
maybe.
Paul, I'm asking you a question. According to what you said, according to the Bible, you said that it's all right to have multiple wives. Am I correct? Long as you treat
That's
them,
all right.
As long as you treat them right.
As long as you treat, but that, at one time, the law of the land has to be accordingly. If the law of the land doesn't say it's cool, then you can't do it.
So the law of the land trumps God's laws? Is that what you're saying?
Say again?
Are you saying that the laws of the land trumps God's laws?
No, the laws of the land don't. The law of the land. God says the only time that you can say that you don't have to listen to man's law is if it tries to go against God's law. If it goes against God's law, then you got to stay on God's law.
So, again, I'm saying that according to what you said, I'm only going by what you said, brother. I'm not trying to set up no debate here or anything. I'm trying to be educated. You said, according to God's, to the book, you can have multiple wives, long as you treat them equally. And I said that, today, do you subscribe to polygamy? You said no, because the laws of the land, you know what I'm saying? So I asked you, does the laws of the land trumps God's law? So I ask you again, my brother, do you subscribe to polygamy according to God's law? How about that one?
No, because God's law for polygamy wasn't at this time. It was at a later time before now. You know, to today and stuff, it wouldn't apply today. Today, because God says in his word, a man should be a man of one wife. And so it doesn't say in the word and stuff to have more than one wife today. At one time, it was necessary, especially for the furtherance of humankind in and of itself.
Hey, I'm going to mute my mic and continue. Continue to show, bro.
But because of the fact that back then you had more than one wife so that you could populate the planet, so that you could populate the community, you know, in which that family resided. But today it's not, you know, it's not the same as it was back then. If you have more than one wife, as a matter of fact, if you, anyone would look at the Bible, you would see that how much strife would come from having two wives. Because one would feel they're not being treated as fair as the other one, one being more loved than the other one, and things of the sort. If there's children on both sides, there's going to be strife because those children may feel they're not being treated as well as the other children. So having two wives is going to be more problems than what it's, you know, even because more, it will cause more problems. And not today in society the way it is, you would need, I mean, you got people that are in relationships where, you know, same-sex relationships where you have two mommies and sometimes two daddies. You know, I mean, I myself sometimes think that those things can be confusing. You know, I know there's probably a lot of people that probably want to, you know, hang me from a, you know, from a 100-foot building and drop me on my head for saying so, but, you know, I believe that a man and only a man can teach a boy how to be a boy. How to teach a boy how to be a man. A woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. You know, but I still believe in stuff that a person being married to two people in this day and age, it'd be more problems than anything else. And even at that, our rate as far as our adultery, not even adult. Fornication in and of itself. People, there's more sleeping around now than ever. I mean, you got people that do so like it's a hobby. And I know there's a lot of people that probably like to, you know, don't like what I say about saying that, but it's true. You know, diseases now are probably higher than they ever been in society. You know, but still, it seems like we're not learning as we progress. If anything, it's saying we're regressive instead of progressive. But, you know, even in our music, it seems like we're not growing. You know, people's tastes and stuff, it seems like we're liking our baser instincts instead of our more, you know, intelligent and moral ones. Like, nothing, everything goes now, so to speak. Nothing's taboo anymore, which is, you know, which is crazy, but it says that in the Word that in the last days how it will be. So, I guess that none of it should be a surprise to those that know. Those that stay up and read the Word. Like I said, I don't believe the thing with Bill Crosby. I keep thinking that it was a little bit more than that because, you know, there's a lot of men of the Caucasian that have probably done the same things that he did and got away with those things. I'm not saying he should have got away with it. No, he shouldn't have. But at the same token, I believe there was more to it than just those women. That was the reason for his downfall in that. And I even heard one time he tried to purchase NBC. You know, and that might have upset people, you know, at one point. Because it's almost like if a black man tries to get any type of power in this nation, they have to cut him down to knees, almost like, who do we think we are? We're trying to aspire to a, you know, something higher than what they think we should aspire to. That's another reason why I do still believe in the black man is the original man. I definitely believe that. But that's another topic in and of itself as well. You know, still, I believe Bill, the same with Bill Cosby. I don't, I'm not saying he shouldn't have got in trouble for drugging those women. He should have. But I'm just saying, there's, I mean, the Harvey Weinsteins and, you know, what's his name? There's that one TV guy I heard that he got caught up in, that Bill Rowley. Got caught up in what he got caught up in. And I hear he's still doing his, he still got his show on TV. So maybe not on TV, but he has a show still. And again, that's neither here nor there either. But I think the thing with Bill Cosby went further than just those women. I do. It's almost like I was saying about the Michael Jackson thing, and how the one family said they, you know, they had blackmailed him. How really the pornographer that was part of his entourage that he didn't even know was part of the entourage that was trying to do things to make Michael look like he was a pedophile. I'm not saying he didn't do, you know, some things they said that he's done, but one family did blackmail him. And if they blackmailed them, who knows how many others did so. I think that could be another reason why he did die, because of a broken heart more than anything else. You know. Anyway, you there, Smokey? Nope. Anyway, still, folks, like I stated, the thing with Bill Cosby, I believe that it was more than just the women. Even though he, being that he did drug them women and some of the other hideous things that they stated that he did, I do believe that he should have to pay the consequences for the things he had not. But don't get twisted, because I still believe in still there's men that are in Hollywood that, you know, have done those things and the light has never shone on them. The mic.
Hey man, I'm with you. I just got my mic muted. I'm just letting you flow, brother. You know what I mean? It's your show.
Well,
you do what you want to. I'm listening.
But how was I doing?
No, you're doing fine, man. I just got my mic muted. I'm just letting you go. I'm not letting you go. It's your show. I just got my mic muted. And I'm listening in. Just keep flowing. Don't worry about it. Because I'm going to edit it, and I'm going to put it out on clips anyway. So don't worry about it. Keep on flowing. You know what I mean? I think you got about a hot, 30, 40 minutes left. I think you probably got more than that. But, yeah, you're good. Keep on going. I'm going to mute my mic again. Keep on going. Did anything you have to get off the top of your head, man?
Mark. Hey, I'm only going to stay on here another 5 to 10, though, all right?
All right, go ahead, man.
Yeah, but like I was stating on that thing with the Bill Cosby thing, in our country, as anyone noted, it always seems that when a black man tries to rise to power, those powers that be try to knock him back down, try to knock him down his knees, and try to be like, you know, black man, you know where you are? And try to make it like we don't have a right to try to aspire to be more than, you know, what society tries to tell us that we are. But we do see that there are some black men that have, you know, risen and became their own, became their own foundations. Didn't have to rely on society. Well, to pull their bootstraps up, so to speak. Like the, you know, creators of FUBU and, you know, Spike Lee and different men, you know, have, you know, with their brands and, you know, Jordan, so to speak, you know, do what they do. But the thing that, you know, sometimes that you like to see is a, you know, black man putting some corporations in some of these neighborhoods where people are desperate, people need work. You know, it would be nice to see that. But at the same token, as well as they're probably some black men that have wanted to do that. they just made me feel that the return on the investment, you know, wouldn't pay off. And me, myself, I'm like, you know, at least they should make the attempt to try. Or maybe do the research to see what would happen if they endeavor to try. You know, I mean, we have people who, it used to be you can get out of high school and get a job at the steel mill. And we're not in that type of culture anymore. I still be the first to say I think it was a college thing. Having people go and get loans, that's that third. Before you even get done with school and stuff, you don't already own a house, a mortgage payment. You never even bought a house. Like your education costs more than the house in which you may go buy later in life. It's ridiculous. Real. But the whole thing was like you got out of school and you couldn't get a job anymore. Now you got to go to college or you got to go to the military. And to me, it was just a big, you know, it was a scam, you know. They kept fixing it, you know, for making, like, you can get out of the college and get a six-figure job and things. Well, do you know how many people get out of college and they still can't find work, even with the degrees that they have? A lot of them get out of school, they can't even find jobs in their field. They usually got to take a lesser-paying job in another field they might not even went to school for. You know, that's crazy. But it's like, there's a big merry-go-round. Someone's like, that's what America is, this big old merry-go-round. When it even should be irking all of us that they're talking about putting on another $1 trillion onto our deficit. Not even just once, I believe twice. Anyway, I'm glad all you folks and stuff was able to tune in with me tonight. A lot of the things that we need to talk about that need to be aired are things that a lot of people don't even want to discuss. We can't keep these things on our chests, keep them in our minds, keep them locked away in the caverns of our minds and stuff, and not share them with one another. We got to stop that. We have to come out. And even what's on our hearts, we got to start becoming a nation instead of care for one another once again. We got issues that we need to all start paying attention to, and we're not. But we can't stand around and twirl our fingers until it's too late. And then we can't even, the genie's already out the bottle, and we ain't going to be able to put it back in. I mean, even if you even pay attention to the fact that when they were able to uncover the crack cocaine connection to the CIA and Maxine Waters and, you know, put it out there for all the world to see that Gary, I forget Gary's last name, you know, went and put that dossier out there as far as the connection between CIA and the Contras, the money is shipping cocaine up into this country. And that's the reason why we had all the, you know, turf wars, gang wars, murders that we had during Florida and, you know, in the streets of California. It was crazy. The '80s, '90s was crazy, and we still never hold the United States accountable for allowing that type of devastation to take place. I don't know, folks. I do believe we're in a blessed country. I do, but your blessing is only, you know, as hard as you got to fight to keep those blessings. We keep making the way. They're automatically going to be there. And we see how they're being taken away slowly but surely. I mean, check it out. They even, with your kids and stuff now, if your kid tries to do something, your kid can holler at you. You can't do nothing to me. I'll call 911. your kid can call the police on you. It's crazy. I'm saying, but it's crazy. You know, you got people that have spent time in jail for disciplining their own children. The police, the law, the society says discipline your kid. As soon as you discipline your kid, they won't put you in jail. What? You know what it is. They want you to let your kid be wild so that they can get the chance to live. They can get the chance to tame them. Like they tamed you by locking you up so your kid get older and stuff when he do. Like a revolving door. You know? Our society's deep, y'all. But it can only be as deep as it is when we're silent. I know there's a lot of people that probably, if you are hearing me speak, probably saying to yourself, well, what are you doing to help? One of the things is what I'm trying to tell you right now. They don't care about us for real. They don't. We're just peons in the game, that's all. Hey, if anybody should be able to check that out, dude. You see what's going on with the north side of Pittsburgh, the Hill District, and Wilkinsburg. They called it gentrification. Just buy a blocks and stuff, and we'll ship these, you know, these folk out to the suburb. New, brand new Section 8 house. Only thing is, you can't get around because you ain't got no car. Oh, how you send to get somebody to say, well, I want to send you out to, you know, bum Egypt somewhere that you ain't never heard of, but you ain't got transportation to get out there. And then they start complaining about drugs coming into the suburbs. Duh. When you start moving people from the city out into the suburbs, what do you expect? What were they expecting? But yet, and it's nice that they fixed up those areas, but they had to move everybody out of those areas so they can fix them up, right? And who's the people that's going to be able to live around them and can afford them? You know who it ain't going to be. Wow. It's deep, y'all. It is. And you know it is. So you know it is, too. The main thing is, like, we got weird galoshes that come up to your waist just to walk around in the poop-poop. Yeah, it is. I know. But look. Again, I thank y'all for coming and getting on board. Let me holler at you. Put a bug in your ear, so to speak. You know, my man Smoke, while I'm riding on board with me tonight, still is all good. Y'all have a good night, though. A lovely night. Little dog. You there? Hello? Smokey.